check out the Full Press Hockey Podcast with Jim Berenger, the best in the business. It's going to be great.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Full Press NHL Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, alongside Sportsology, Russ Cohen. You can hear him on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, Locked On Flyers, and Off the Post Podcast. Guys, check that out. It's really good. Russ, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? We're past the NHL trade deadline. The Philadelphia Flyers, we had talked about them when you were on that podcast previously, the direction that they were going in. And it seems like they stuck with that direction a little bit at the trade deadline.
They did, probably to their detriment. I mean, they gave up a draft pick for Eric Johnson. Eric Johnson's passed it. He was minus four, I think, in last night's game. His lateral movement's not great. He could pass the puck a little bit, but guys could get past him. It's not hard. I mean, and him and Staal out there really kind of limit them when they're playing some of these really good teams that have a lot of fast-paced guys that can make passes. And so when those guys are out there, it hurts them. And so this is the direction they chose. You know, they sent back Adam Jennings, fine, but Adam Jennings faster and he blocked shots. They didn't give him much of a chance. So, you know, they're using Adard, which is good. Their problem is some of their other defensemen, like Risto, we don't know what his status is. So, you know, you could assume it's something like neck or concussion, and who knows, he's been out a while. So don't know about that. And then Jamie Drysdale, that shoulder, pretty sure it's the same shoulder and that he had trouble with before. And they said it was, you know, probably should have been back by now, but they haven't updated us. So you're missing those two guys. So that's definitely going to hurt them.
And they moved out Sean Walker to Colorado. Yeah. I know they picked up Ryan Johansson. They
and
got
Sealer's
a first
out too. Sealer
and Sealer's out too. Yes. Yeah.
You know, again, he was supposed to just be out a little while, and I don't know. Now he's missed like probably four games. So if he doesn't have a break, maybe he's got a fracture or something because it was off a blocked shot, and so that's lingered too.
Plus the goaltending too, right? They didn't really address it as well. No backup to.
Well,
Samuel
I don't think
Harrison.
They were going to. I mean, Sandstrom's fine. I mean, the backup goalie was never going to play more than three or four games anyhow. You really didn't know what Ersson would be down the stretch. And I don't know if he's a 1A. I know, you know, the coach likes him, and I think the team likes him to a degree. They gave him a two-year deal, right, to kind of test him out. And I still don't think they really know what he is. I don't think anybody does. So we're going to find out, like, in the next 16 games, whatever's left, what he is. Because, you know, like last night was partially on the defense, but also partially that, you know, the Leafs did some scouting and they were shooting from further out, seeing that maybe that's where Ersson is trouble, because Urson's very good up close. If you're up close, he covers it. He knows how to use his pads and it's hard to get the puck past him. But from further out, that's when, you know, he was having some trouble, you know, like on high shots. And Bertuzzi had this one deflection, which was he wasn't even in the crease. He was like 5 feet away from the crease, which you never see something that far away get deflected in. So I think they kind of, you know, read the tea leaves on that, looked at the last few games of scouting and said, this may be the way.
Now the Flyers, you know, they re-signed Nick Sealer. They extended him. Obviously, Walker was always going. That was the plan. You stated that from the beginning. What do you think of the extension for Seeler?
I would never have given him more than 2 years, period. And so the fact that they did, and the fact that he has a no move through two when the coach's contract runs for two more years, it's to me is not a coincidence. So no matter what, Nick Seeler is there for 2 years with that coach because he likes him. So say what you will. He's a decent defenseman, but on a lot of teams, he's a six or a seven. On this team, he's more. He's going to block a spot from a young guy eventually. And that's, you know, that's where the problem's going to lie. Unless all of a sudden they decide like Zamula, Adder, Jennings don't fit their plans. Like if Torts says he doesn't fit their, you know, then that's three young defensemen that you're going to kind of marginalize. So I don't know how that all is going to work out, but I know the more guys they get like Seeler, the more it hurts those guys.
Yeah. And obviously Ryan Johansson's part of the organization. Do you not see really. Them? No, not really, but he's probably going to get moved in the offseason.
I think he's going to get bought out. I think they're going to buy him out.
What about Cam Atkinson, another buyout candidate, or do they not have many?
He's got 1 year at like 5.8 or something. You can only buy out so many. So I think they'll have to just gut that one out. He started off well. He's been bad for like a month and a half. Maybe he'll pick it back up. You know, the funny thing is about that neck fusion surgery, he didn't have a choice. Like when he was choosing between like the artificial disc and the neck fusion, something was happening where he had to get the neck fusion. Like they said, you got to get in there and get this done. So he did. And we've seen this with like Tyler Johnson too. His offense is muted compared to what it used to be, right? And he's not an old guy. So Atkins is a little older, but, you know, and has a little more mileage. But I think that neck fusion does take away some of your mobility in your game. And I think that's what he's missing. And, you know, so like he's having an okay year, but he's nowhere near what he used to be.
Yeah. And like the Flyers, we've talked about it all year, right? When were they going to come back to earth? They're starting to come back to earth a lot, but they're getting help because teams at that other end of the spectrum are not passing them. And they're going on winning streaks too late, or their winning streaks end. And Philadelphia is still in the third spot in the Metro, which they probably shouldn't be with the run they're on.
Right. I mean, a lot of this will depend on the Islanders. Ted Starkey, a buddy of mine, studied the Capital schedule and actually said he feels like they have their destiny in their own hands because they play almost everybody. Most every, that they're trailing. Most teams don't do that. Most teams aren't playing those teams. So they do have an opportunity, and I think they do play the Flyers one more time too. So that's a situation where Washington can still gain ground, even though we kind of like already say, how are they going to make it? And Spencer Carberry's done an amazing job there. Amazing. And even without Kuznetsov, they're still in it. I mean, they won again last night. So they're still in it. The Devils are faintly in it. They would have to win like 10 in a row. I know they pulled that one out yesterday, but, you know, that's another story. Detroit, they're dying on the vine because their goaltending. Look, Billy Huso turned out to not be good. Then they went with Alex Lyon, who, again, in short spurts is fine. But now you need Alex Lyon, and all of a sudden you're losing games. So, I don't know. Detroit's a little bit shaky there.
What was the message you think came from Steve Yzerman at the trade deadline? They really didn't do anything. They didn't even upgrade that position because maybe that was – I know they already had the three-headed monster there, but does that say to me that he's just sticking with his plan, and if they get in, they get in, and if they don't, we weren't expected to be there.
The message was, I got you, Patrick Kane. Let's see if that gets us in. That's really it. And Kane's been okay, but he's tailed off too. And that was the other thing. We didn't know what the rigors of a full season would do with him coming off the injury he came off of. So that's another factor. And Larkin being out. Larkin being out is the biggest factor. They do count on him that much. I know people are like, do they really count? Yeah, he's your number one center. He's the fastest guy in the team. Like it's the same as Jack Hughes going out. It matters. So, yes, it really does affect them.
No coincidence in the – since the 2 weeks he's been off, the seven games, they've lost seven games in a row. And look, you said it, Washington somehow still alive in this thing. Pittsburgh, shockingly, 5 points out. New Jersey, 4 points out. But like you said, Washington has it in their own destiny. They've already beat the Devils 3 times this year. And somebody made a comment the other day after the Jake Allen win for New Jersey and Dallas. They were like, oh, well, they should have gotten him sooner. No, you think? Like, I mean, come on. Like, everybody's been talking about Colton.
Stadium series, yeah.
Yeah. It makes no sense. It felt like everything New Jersey did at the trade deadline was reactionary to the fact that the coach was fired too late.
Yeah, it was the coach that was fired too late. Maybe the other teams were stringing, you know, fits along. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to move on and make your deal. Look, and everybody on earth says, well, I wouldn't have traded Dawson Mercer for Juuse Saros. Okay, but sometimes you have to. Like, sometimes you have to make that trade because the playoffs are on the line, next year is on the line, and, you know, to be honest, I think they can live without Mercer because Saros, even though I'm not a big Saros guy, he's better than Jake Allen. And so, you know, I think if they had done that at the time, they'd be a playoff team. I think they would have been in the third spot. I really do think so. I think there's missed opportunities there for sure. And then the Islanders are interesting because Waz doing a good job. I always kid and say, you know, what's Patrick Waz yelling going to do? But he's been pretty cerebral with these guys. And, you know, even saying, look, it's a humbling game. You know, they've lost two in a row. I saw the quote. It's a great quote. So it's kind of telling them, you got to keep working hard. We got this close. We're 4 points out. They were within two. They have great goaltending. So if they could score just a little bit, it'd be good. Now, I think the issue with them is I think Palmieri's out. And remember, Palmieri for the last, I don't know, like 3-4 weeks has been really hot. So he has been a catalyst for them in the lineup, besides Barzal and Bo Horvat. So, but they, Palmieri's a missing ingredient for them. Like, they need him. So otherwise, they're a one-line team.
They are. I agree. I mean, I think Lou Lamoriello being smart, not doing anything, I think his trade deadline move was the coaching change. And I do believe that.
I don't think that was smart, though. I think he did need to do something because, again, with Palmieri out, if they had got somebody at the deadline, they'd have some extra scoring.
Do you think the scorer just doesn't want to go to the island just because of the system or because of, you know, cap implications, salary, things like that? Because it just seems like top guys just don't want to go there.
I think there's some guys that don't want to go in there, but I think the lure of Patrick Waugh could get a few there. So I think I think they could have gotten somebody, not a superstar, but a guy that just could have helped them. I mean, look, they probably could have gotten, they could have gotten Kuznetsov because Carolina's got a better record. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to reach out and try and do that. So, you know, that would have been a risk, but they, you know, he's a scorer they don't have. So as an example, that's something they passed on, right?
Yeah, I mean, they could have tried to, I mean, I don't know if Seattle would have given him up because they extended him, but maybe they could have tried to reunite with Jordan Eberle because, I mean, he would have been a good.
That Eberle was going to get dealt. You know, and maybe they didn't like what the deal was going to be, but yeah, you could have traded Wahlstrom and a pick and maybe gotten Eberle, and he certainly could help. Yeah, I felt like they needed to do more. I know Lou used the line that, hey, there was nothing worth upgrading. You know, we trust these guys in the room. That's usually code for I couldn't get a deal done.
Yeah, and then you mentioned it. You mentioned it before. Dawson Mercer, Saros, or whatever goalie was out there that you need to give up. Colorado decided that, hey, you know what? We have a position of need, second line center. We have depth at one position.
Yeah.
Let's make it a hockey trade and benefit both teams.
This is why Joe Sakic plays chess when other guys are playing checkers, because he knew he was giving up a talent, right? This is Bo Byron. We all know that if he didn't have any post-concussion or anything, he'd already be a one or a two in this league and doing great. So now he is, like, he's got goals in his first couple games. He's doing great. I think he's playing with Dahlin. So can't do much better than that. And, yes, Mittelstadt can play. So, yes, it did help both teams, but Sakic realized, okay, this is one of my one trump card that I could use, and I'm going to use it now. And I don't, you know, I give him credit, man. I do.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, like you said, they always say you got to give up something to get something.
Yeah, and they had a big comeback. Vancouver, right? They came back and beat Vancouver. So to me, the Avs are better than Vancouver. Like that, the Avs to me are probably the team to beat.
Yeah, I agree. I think I agree with that. Now, Byron being in Buffalo, and here we go, Buffalo doing Buffalo things again. And they're another team that's right. This Eastern Conference playoff mix is so good. Yeah. It got real weird real quick.
It did, because, and this is the weird part about this part of the year, because everybody's got like 16, 17 games left. And it seems like it's not that hard to get within six in the East and the Metro, but it does seem like it's hard to get within two or overtake somebody. And I think that's where the math starts coming in. And I'm not a math genius, so don't ask me. But I do think that that's a part of it. It does seem like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, because Buffalo, they were left for dead. Detroit had everything locked up a few weeks ago. Okay, Detroit, we're pretty much going to have them back in the playoffs. It seemed like, okay, maybe the team in the Metro, like we said, like somebody's going to have to catch the Flyers if you're in the Metro. It felt like five teams from the Atlantic. And now everything's just like jumbled because Detroit's lost seven. The Islanders went on the streak. Buffalo's coming. It just feels like I don't know if the Devils just have enough to get in because they've squandered too many points against bad teams.
Right.
But like, does Buffalo find a way in?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, the math is possible, so I can't say no. I mean, Pekka Luukkonen's on a little bit of a heater for the first time in his career. Will he keep that up? I don't know. I mean, these are still questions that we don't, you know, that we're going to take more time to get answers to. But, and I'm not trying to waffle. I think that's just the way it is. I spoke to a smart guy after the Flyers game yesterday, and we were talking about the game. And I said, you know, he said, what did you see in this game? And I said, I saw a team who the better teams win at this time of the year. That's what I said. When the better teams come in, they generally win. And so the Leafs came in, they were the better team, they won, right? And I think it goes back to, like, if I were a coach, and I'm not, but if I were, I'd be like, listen, we got to take care of our own business. You can't worry about this team or that team or that and the other. If we just keep winning, we'll be in. And it, even if that message has been given in the East, it's not working for anybody.
It hasn't. All
the teams outside of, like, the, you know, a couple top spots, you know, Rangers and Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it goes back to when the Devils were on a California trip. You're in Anaheim. You knew Philadelphia just lost. You go out and win the game. And you have a chance to get within 3 points at the time or whatever it was. Yeah. And then you lose in L.A. and you look like you quit. And then you have – like, they're too inconsistent. They're – to sum up the Devils and the Penguins this year, they're inconsistently consistent. That's right. Really realistic.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and I don't know. Will Jake Allen get on a heater for them? Maybe. But there's other things. Like, I saw your tweets, and I agree. It's the defense, too, because we know it's a young defense. And maybe they'll mature in the next five games. Like, they'll have a better idea. It's possible, because it sometimes does take time. But it may not happen this season either.
No, I don't think so. Look, for the first time – all season, I saw them make quick decisions with the puck. Out, off the glass, off your stick, no looking for a pass, just get it out of the zone. And it worked. And you won puck battles. But can you do that for a second game in a row? Can you let the bad tendencies not slip in? Now, look, to his credit, Travis Green has come in and adjusted the lineup for New Jersey. Timo Meier's playing in the correct position in the top six.
Yeah, Nick DeSimone, that's helping him for sure.
Right. And then Nick DeSimone, who was picked up on waivers a couple of months ago, got his first action against Dallas. Like, that just tells me that New Jersey, at the time with Lindy Ruff, was just trying to just see if they could just turn it around without making changes. And even the little subtle little changes that you've seen has made a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, sure. But, to me, the bigger one is, can you reel in Luke Hughes so he's not as chancy in games but still could take care of his offense? Like, that to me is a challenge right now.
I agree with that. I mean, Simone Nemec has looked unbelievable this year. I know he sat one game. Travis Green wanted to give him time off. That's fine. I was talking with somebody about this. I said, I think it's time that the Devils separate the Hughes brothers on a power play.
Yeah, why not?
They're playing pond hockey out there because they just look for each other, and teams know it. Teams know they look for each other now on a power play.
I think mix it up.
Mix it up. Put Nemec on that first unit and give him a different look, because I think that will help Luke settle down. It'll help Jack settle down. And I think Jack's still playing hurt too.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure he is.
Like the shoulder, wrist, whatever his injury was.
It was wrist, I think, at the time, right?
Yeah, wrist. Yeah. So, I mean, look, New Jersey has a chance, but I think, again, there's an old country music song, too little, too late to do the right thing now.
Yeah.
I think they went past it. I think Lindy Ruff should have been gone a couple, probably a month sooner.
I feel for Devils fans if they come up like 2 points short, right? Because then everybody's going to be second guessing all summer.
Oh, 100%. But then it'll go back to what I've mentioned earlier, the 18 points you gave up against bad teams. Right. You lose to Anaheim twice, San Jose, Arizona, Montreal. Like, that stuff adds up. Now, you could take the Washington points out of it because Washington is right there. But, again, the little adjustments that you could have made, didn't make, again, it comes back to bite you. Then you look at the West, like a team like Nashville. They remind me of Florida last year. It took them 50-something games to understand Paul Maurice's system, and here we go. Andrew Renette's got the Nashville Predators in playoff spot.
Right. I mean, and yeah, he's doing a great job there because it looked like they were out of it. Yeah, I think the thing with the Devils now is they have Jake Allen for another year, but just having Jake Allen's not going to get them back in the playoffs. They're going to have to get another defenseman because they lost too many when they lost Graves and Severson. Like I said, I never understood them pushing Severson out. He was a good guy. He played well there. Maybe his offense wasn't going to be as good as you'd hoped, but everything else was good with Severson, and they pushed him out. And they're going to need a guy like that back in there to balance out the youth, and they're still going to need more scoring. Like the Devils, whether they – you know, I don't know, where's Holtz? Where did he play last night?
Third line last night. He played third line against Dallas. Okay. He scored a goal. So that was nice to see. Dawson Mercer
got to be off the fourth line. He's not going to help you there.
No, I had this question, and I put this out there because when Tom Fitzgerald had the press conference and was asked about Alexander Holtz, you've scouted him for a while. We discussed it off air. He's not a 200-foot player. He's not going to do those details that you ask him to. If you thought he was having a bad year, why was he not in the A?
Right. Right. I think, honestly, I think because they were hoping that he would get hot and they trade him. I honestly think because there are a lot of teams that want him because everybody's looking for that next scorer. And he could be it for them. And that's why I don't think the Devils should trade him because they have a hard enough time getting goal scorers there.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it goes back to – I know preseason doesn't matter, and I've said this a lot. When you make a change after seven games when you're playing with a line at the start of the regular season, it changes a lot of things within your club.
It does, yeah. I mean, you would like to see him stick with things longer. I mean, you could throw the line in the blender any game, but you should still go game to game with the lines that work. I agree. But, you know, teams have analytics departments now that sometimes change that up, I feel.
Yeah, and I think New Jersey's analytics department is a little suspect at times. At times, that's all I'm going to say because of what I've heard in the past.
Yep, that's fine.
But, yeah. You know, looking at the West, who do you think of the teams that – we mentioned Colorado, but of the other teams out there, who do you think really did good? I don't like to use winners and losers because it's hard to tell with winners and losers, but who do you think did the best or added what they needed at the deadline?
I know that wasn't the Kings. Let's see. Well, Nashville actually did okay. I forget, what was Nashville's move to?
Bevilier and Zucker, and then they moved out Trenin to Colorado.
Right, right. They moved out Trenin, who's a little slow, and they brought in Zucker, and Bevilier with some speed, and Zucker, who's a good clutch goal scorer. I felt like Nashville did good. I felt like Trotz has been doing a good job all year because he's been trying guys out. He's been picking guys up off waivers, trying to see what fits. So I felt like they did a good job.
What about Edmonton?
Yeah, Edmonton did well. I don't think they could have done much more. So I think Edmonton's in a pretty good spot right now. The only thing is, and I was listening to, and I can't remember who it was on Sirius, one of their reporters, you know, they talk about like the three or four goalies they had. That's a problem. Like at some point, you can't worry about Jack Campbell doing well now in the A. You got to just leave that alone. You've got to just focus on your two at the NHL level and decide if Skinner can really do this. Because that's still, to me, a little bit of a question.
Yeah. But they added the depth that they needed on their third and fourth lines because that's what hurt them in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they still could have bolstered their defense better. I mean, their defense is still a little bit of an issue.
Right.
But no, I think Edmonton did well too. You know,
Winnipeg?
Calgary had to do what Calgary had to do. Trying to think who else from the West.
Winnipeg, maybe?
Yeah, Winnipeg. I actually, I forget what was their move.
Monahan before, then Toffoli and Miller at the draft, at the deadline.
Right, the Toffoli thing. That's right. I should have realized with you wearing the Devils thing. Yeah, the Toffoli thing is huge. I mean, you know, you're getting a guy who's a bona fide goal scorer in this league, and they shouldn't have even. That was the other thing with the Devils is you still could have had him for these 16 games. Like, you know, why did you? I mean, I get it. You wanted assets because you traded for the guy, but you got fewer assets in return than what you already gave up. So it was already going to be a losing proposition.
Yeah, and the fact that, like, again, it's easy to criticize when you're not in that chair, but listening to what Tom Fitzgerald said before the deadline, I'm not giving him away for nothing, felt like he gave away for nothing.
Right. Yeah, I think Shevardayoff really did a good job of a couple picks. I mean, they were
second and a third, and I think the second is a conditional or something. Right. So it's like okay, all right, that's fine, but you just gave away your leading goal scorer.
Right. No, I think that was big for Winnipeg because Winnipeg is in this. Yeah. There's no question they're in it. You know, Vancouver's in it. I do worry about the Demko injury. I don't know to what extent that is.
I 1 to 2 weeks. I heard it's like 1 to 2 weeks.
That's not that big a deal. I admit though, I'm not a big believer in Vancouver in the playoffs yet. They still have to kind of prove it to me. They didn't prove it to me against the Avalanche the other night. So that's an issue. But yeah, I think that's what sums it up in the West. I still think there's two or three in the West and three or four in the East. While I think the Avs are the team that I like the best, I still wouldn't be shocked if, you know, an Eastern team won the Cup.
It feels like the reverse of last year. Like the East went for everybody.
Vegas, and look, Vegas is always going to be there, but I don't feel the magic this year.
Mm-mm. Well, imagine it, they make those moves and they still miss, because there's a likelihood of that.
Right, but they're going to sign Hanifin.
Yeah, they'll sign Hanifin.
They're going to sign Hanifin, and it's a great move. But I still feel like with all the injuries this year, that they're not going to be able to come out a winner of that. You know, when's he going to be back? All that stuff. I think it's going to affect them. They might go a round or two, but I don't think they're getting back to the Cup.
Do you think Florida, with what they did, has a chance to get back to the Cup?
Florida's got a real good chance, and their goaltending's good. Their depth is good. Center-wise, they're one of the best teams in the league. They can match up against Edmonton for sure. So if it were like Florida-Edmonton, let's say, they can match up right with them. So, yeah, I think they'd be great.
What about the Rangers?
Rangers did okay. I mean, Roslovic, I saw, scored his first goal. Look, I was high on him 4 years ago. I don't know what he is now. I don't, because he just hasn't done well in years. But it's fine. He skates well. We'll see if he can kind of kick in the scoring. The Rangers still have defensive problems. Like, you know, Kandre Miller had a bad game yesterday in that Tampa comeback. He's been on and off this year. That's a problem. He was better last year, it seems. So I still think they can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know if they can get over the hump. And that's the thing. And it's not Shesterkin. It's more on their defense. And they didn't really focus on that. You know, who'd they pick up? They picked up
Wennberg and
– No, Wennberg was good. Like, that was – they needed that. That was need, and Roslovic was need. But they did pick up a defenseman, didn't they?
I forget who they got off the top of my head. Look,
it wasn't anybody like that would move the needle.
No, it wasn't a needle mover. It really wasn't. It wasn't a needle mover in New York. And I'm the same thing with you. Yeah, Roslovic, all right, he had a great game against Tampa, but is he a top six winger for the Rangers? Like, you have Capo.
Oh, Chad Ruedel. Like, I've watched enough Chad Ruedel, and you probably have too. But he, you know, on a good Pittsburgh team, he's the seventh guy, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
On this Ranger team, he's still going to be the seventh guy. Now, so he's going to play now with Trouba out. I get it. But Trouba will be back. And then what's, I don't know, then what's Chad Ruedel, just depth.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned the Penguins. I think this is a great place to where we wrap everything up. But Pittsburgh, you know, a lot of question marks with Kyle Dubas. Look, it's easy to pick on low-hanging fruit, but I feel like, and again, others may disagree, he's made two $11 million mistakes in his first year as general manager, one in Toronto.
He was forced into him by ownership.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree because of the direction and the team.
They basically were like, listen, we're not ready to break up the core. Do you want this job or not? I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
And so I think he knew he'd have to ride it out for a year or two with that old core. Like, I just feel like he knew that. I don't think this is the way he would do it if you gave him full rein and said, do whatever you want to do, Kyle. And maybe that's what's going to happen this offseason. I don't know. But I still feel like they're going to ride one more year with just a change to the core and see what happens. But he is doing some smart things. I feel like the drafting has been good. They're getting some picks. I feel like who's one of the players they acquired?
Bunting they got from.
Yeah, they got Bunting. Well, and I felt like that deal could be a little suspect, but they at least got Bunting. And Koivunen, I think, will play in the NHL. The problem is with the other guys they got, they all have skating issues. Lucius is not as good as his brother, but he has offensive ability for sure. But I don't know how he'll be if he gets to the NHL, and that's an if. So I'm counting on Bunting, and I'm counting on Koivunen, and that second. And so I don't think they got killed like people think, and I do think they have a good scouting staff, so I think they'll get something for that second. So they probably could reload for one more year, which I think they're going to do just based on the Carlson contract. I think
they do, because it feels like, but that's been the mandate, and that's why Malkin got the contract he did. That's why Letang got the contract that he did. And it just feels like Pittsburgh, obviously the retool probably should have happened around 2022 or a year before.
So this way they could have given Sid one more chance at the, you know, last year of his contract maybe.
Yeah,
now it's like he's going into the last year of his contract, and who knows?
Right. Like, does he want – look, he says he wants to stay. I feel like he's going to be a lifer, and it feels like he wants to play.
I can see him walking away if he thinks they're not going to be good in a few years, or going year to year. Mario did the year-to-year thing too, right? So
I think with the Olympics in 2026, I think he wants to have a crack with McDavid.
Right. Yeah, like, I think that's strong, but he still could do that not being in hockey. This is right, Crosby. I don't think he has to be in hockey to do that.
No, I think he could. I think he could go sign in Europe and just play and let them play, and he could play for Canada and he would be fine.
Right.
But I agree with you. I could definitely see him retiring at the end of 2025 when his contract's up, because if the team is just not the way where it is, he's like, all right, you gave away my running buddy,
right?
Getzel. We probably shouldn't have moved them. These different things.
I like you, Dubas, but you know, I don't see it.
I don't see it.
Or I just don't want to be here for three more years waiting for it.
Right. And Jari, what is he? You know, too inconsistent. The defense too inconsistent. I mean, outside of beating San Jose 5-3, they were outscored 17-2 in the four games after the Getzel trade.
I'll tell you the one thing. They were talking about this on Sirius last night. Or maybe yesterday afternoon, and I'm starting to – they may have swayed me a little, and that is, could Mike Sullivan be in trouble finally again? And because you got to figure, if they make another move to kind of like, you know, retool the core on the fly in this offseason, that would be the only other big change that they could make that could have a big impact on the club. And even though it may not be fully his fault, he still could end up, because remember, he's the one that wanted to keep Jari. So they kept Jari because of him, thinking that Sullivan would get them, you know, through this. He didn't. So now you kind of wonder, is his head on the chopping block, so to speak?
Do they give him at least a half a season, though? Because his new contract hasn't even kicked in yet.
Doesn't matter. Like, Lindy's getting paid. But
that's true. Yeah, that's true. It'd be something to find out how much Sullivan's extension, how many years it is to make him go away.
Right. Right.
But I mean, again, Toronto made Babcock go away for 4 years. So,
right. No, and I think somebody would hire Sullivan and then they wouldn't be paying him anyhow.
I think if Mike Sullivan got on the market, I think New Jersey is a good landing spot for him.
Right. So if that's the case, then they wouldn't be paying for his contract anyhow.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be interesting. I had this debate with somebody. I said, if Sid were to ask to be traded, I think there'd be one team he'd want to go to.
So you think it's going to be Colorado?
I think it's Colorado just because of McKinnon. I know Marchand's in Boston, but I just don't know if that's – I don't know if Pittsburgh would want to make that move.
Yeah. I think you might be right, but I don't think he's going to move.
No, I don't think he's going to move either, but I think – because somebody's like, oh, Florida, you could go to Florida.
I don't think he cares.
I think he would play with his buddy.
Be in the East. I think he'd want to be away from the East.
Right. I think it would be the same thing with Fleury. That's why Fleury doesn't want to come back to the Eastern Conference. To see Pittsburgh a couple of times a year, like, I don't know if that would be good for him.
Right. I mean, sometimes the guys just don't want to do that because it's like, hey, that was my whole career. And so, yeah, I feel like it would be in the West. And I could see, you know, his Cole Harbour buddy, but I just don't see him leaving.
Neither do I. I just don't see it leaving either. So we're going to see what happens. Russ, always a pleasure to have you on the Full Press NHL podcast.
Hey, thanks, Jim.
Hey, guys, get this. The Full Press NHL podcast. I've been your host, Jim Berenger, alongside Russ Cohen. Check him out. SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio, Sportsology.com, Locked On Flyers, Off the Post podcast. And get this, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Take care, everybody.
Barry Trotz, Nashville Predators, making sure you're listening to Full Press Hockey Podcast.